Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Missy Hood with Ezekiel's Wheel. Oh, my God. I didn't change the background. Oh, well, we just keep celebrating Christmas, I guess. But, you know, I could do that. I could change it, you know, because I have that capability. So we'll change it to, what do you want to see? You want to see purple? Let's see purple today. That's nice. I just feel like something different. Anyway, happy Monday. I hope you guys are having a great Monday. Hope you guys have had a great weekend. It's interesting because of what's been going on all weekend. Everything kind of is getting quiet, or so it seems in the spirit, but there's a lot going on in the background. So don't let yourself get discouraged. Still a lot going on. God's still working. He's still restoring things. And the enemy's trying to get you to participate in a few things so that he can try to accomplish his plans instead of God accomplishing what God has planned for America. So what's been going on right now in the spirit with America? What's been going on in your world? This is what the Lord's been telling me that witchcraft has been doing. And by the way, the title today is called Righteous Missiles, Bloodline Freedom, America's Freedom, and the Finish Line. So you want to continue moving forward at all costs. And if you haven't been listening to the prophets, because I love a lot of the prophets, I've started listening to Tim Sheets, and Tim Sheets has been talking about arsenals being loaded up for the people of Christ and for the intercessors and the front runners, that we're going to start releasing the arsenals of God over America and over our lives. What are the arsenals of God? The arsenals of God are the decree a thing, decree a thing, decree a thing, because we're standing and we're learning to stand with Christ beside him in heavenly places, Colossians 3:1-3. And so in our learning to rule and reign with him as kings and priests, we're learning to release the arsenals over the land. And so we're taking the land back through Christ. He's doing it through us. And so America's in a place now where the enemy's trying his best to delay the inevitable and get America to accept the enemy's plans or his cursings, his witchcraft vision against God's people. But it's time for you, front runner and intercessor, to stand up and decree what the Father in heaven is saying instead of what the enemy wants you to believe. Do you believe what God's been showing you in your spirit? Because we all come to the place where we're forced to believe the truth of what God has shown us, or we digress. We end up digressing, and it's up to us as a people group to be willing to humble ourselves before holy God so he can begin to clean us up, to clean up our lands, so we can take authority like he promised us we would. That's the place you're at right now. You're either going to believe him or you're not. And so the Lord's saying, do not let yourself get into holiday mode, although it's going to be a great holiday, to where you just forget about God's vision for the nation, or else you'll lose God's vision and your nation. You don't want to lose sight of the plans that God has for you. The Lord says, without a vision, people perish. And so the Lord is getting us to stand up right now. He's teaching us to keep standing, to have endurance, and to keep forging our way through, out of the old and into the new, so that we can have what he said we could have. That's what he's teaching us to do. So keep it coming forward. Keep coming forward. Keep decreeing a thing. Keep the missiles coming at the enemy's forces, because you're winning. That's the great news. That's the best news of the day this Monday. You're winning. It doesn't always look like it in the natural, but don't believe in what you see with your eyes, because your eyes will fail you. Okay? And the only way we win is to come back to love. By the way, that's the bottom line truth to this. You come back to the Lord. You come back to his ways, because love is the most powerful force on earth. And the reason that you've even been going through all these hardships and all these trials are to teach you endurance and to teach you perseverance and to help God expand your tent stakes so you can believe for the impossible. Are we not looking at something impossible right now? So God is trying to teach us how to finish a thing with a finishing anointing. I believe this calmness, this resting place that we've entered into starting in October, actually moving through December, is that place of resting, that place of knowing that God is fighting the battles for us, that we don't have to do it, because we can't. Only God can do this. It's the impossible thing that we're believing God for. And so witchcraft then is hitting God's people with passivity, trying to get us to accept defeat, which is such a lie. Doesn't he always try to do that when we are like at the place right before the blessing manifests? He tries to get us to concede, or he gets us into unjust compliance, fatigue, distraction, being too busy to pray, being tired of praying, tired of the circumstances. I'm just tired of the warfare, God. I'm tired of seeing the nation go through this. I'm tired of it all. I don't even want to participate. I'm just not going to watch the news. Pardon me. I'm just going to act like if I just busy myself about God's business, then, and I don't track it, then it won't happen to me. Yes, it will. It can happen to you. It can happen to all of us. And so the Lord's saying, when you're just wanting to concede, the Lord says, don't concede. Don't you dare concede. If you concede, you lose, and you'll lose a whole lot more than you're willing to pay for if you lose sight of the vision. Keep your eye on the ball. Our jobs are to finish the task, to finish the job that he's called us to do. Which actually brings me to Ezekiel 18:1 through 19:14. And have you ever found yourself accusing God of not being fair? Have you ever felt like that? We thought, Lord, this isn't fair. This isn't fair what I've had to walk through. This isn't fair what I've experienced in my family. I feel very unjustly accused. I feel like it's just been unfair. But the problem is see, even though you feel like you've been walking through a lot of things that were unjust, God has been busy teaching you how to be about your Father's business and how to follow through, how to walk out of the old and into the new to where we could actually bring a whole people group through. Not just you. I didn't mean for all that to rhyme. I guess it just did. But yeah, how to help a whole people group. And so this is kind of what the Israelites were experiencing, because God was cleaning up their bloodlines, but he was helping them to learn to clean up the camps of their forefathers because of the sins of prior generations before them, which had gotten them into a lot of problems, a lot of cursings, a lot of bloodline cursings, where the cursings were literally stacked and layered with generation after generation after generation. And when those bloodlines and those cursings had hit a certain point, they can go up to 1,000 generations, God is obligated to shut them down, to use a people group who will stand up to those cursings and shut it down, to bring the whole bloodline back into redemption. Hello, blood front runner, that's you. But these things are called the sins of the Father. They're the sins of the Father. And yes, God is just. God is just. But it's a part of your maturing process. This has been a part of our maturing process. And actually, this is where the Jews were at during this process during their life, because generations go through this. This is, you know, history sometimes repeats itself. And so you've heard about some cursings lasting up to 4 generations, some up to 1,000 generations. And so eventually, though, God must redeem a people group, because he's a God who doesn't lie. He's a God who keeps his promise. And so, but the Jews were going through this. They felt God was being unjust, unfair. And it was a familiar proverb to argue if the fathers that do the sinning should cause the children to do the suffering. That's what they were struggling with. Why should I have to pay for the sins of my forefathers when I wasn't the one who did that sin? And God actually did it, and he brought that next generation up, because he saw what he had instilled within them, and he knew that he was going to lift them up to do a specific task to help set an entire people group free. That's what God was all about. He was in it to help the whole bloodline get free. And I'll get to that in a second, though. But God is just. God is not unjust when he punishes the children for their father's sins, because he has an end result in mind. But after 30 years of suffering, this is for you, when the cursings had built up over your bloodlines, and it wasn't just our bloodlines individually, it was several bloodlines, a lot of people around you. Have you noticed that people are going through the same things these days? I've talked to so many people in the last week even, where they've said, you know, Melissa, I've run into so-and-so from high school, and I've run into so-and-so, and she and her sister are going through the same thing that me and my siblings are going through, and the things that you and your family are going through. And it's all the same. We're all being charged, front runner. We've all been lifted up for such a time as this to help get the people free, but not just you, because we were actually started in the process. I don't know about you, but for me, I started in the process just to get myself free, to get free from all the tyranny of all the demonic oppression and all the things that were seemingly coming down upon my life that I didn't understand. Why? Why do I have to deal with this? But God says, I've lifted you up for such a time as this. Many are called, but few are chosen. God was trying to see who would choose to come back to him despite what was going on around them, despite the testings they were walking through. He was trying to see who would choose truth, who would choose love. That's what God was trying to see. And so, but God saw something in you that he placed in there. And so as, although 30 years ago, judgment hit our family doors, God didn't want us to get hit, but he had no choice because he knew what he charged you to do. And so he needed a people group strong enough, tried enough, toughened up enough to stand up against the tyranny, the demonic tyranny, to where we would allow God to put a stop to the generational sin. Somebody's got to put a stop to it. And if not you, then who? So there always has to be that one sacrificial lamb, just like Jesus being on a cross. Jesus was the one who chose to stand up there and to get up on the cross for each one of us so that an entire people group might get free. Hello, you're looking at revival, right? Jesus was doing revival all across the world at that point. That's what he was thinking. He had you in mind. But as the sin progressed, just like in Noah's day, the generations after that started to fall away from God. And they started losing sight of God's ways, which is what's happened up until you, with your generations before you. They lost sight of God. So God was looking for one person who would be Jesus on the cross or Jesus in skin and put a stop to the generational cursing once and for all. A people who wanted God enough more than anything they thought that they could find in the flesh. To where these front runners and gatekeepers would be used by God so that their bloodlines could shut down the cursings, setting many free. You see, God wasn't trying to just set us free, front runner. He was after entire bloodlines to help many get ready for revival. He's trying to help many get ready. You've heard about revival. You've heard about your forefathers, their cloud of witnesses standing in heaven, rooting you on and things like this. And when you obey the Lord, when you're faithful to do what God has told you to do, to get free from different bloodline cursings and different things that so easily beset you, then it actually helps an entire people group that have even died and gone on into heaven before you. They stand and they root you on because they know that if you get free, if you put a stop to the curse, it helps them propel forward even if they're in heaven. So you're used by God to move everybody forward on earth as it is in heaven. That pertains to that there. So God's getting us ready for revival. And he said that these cursings were allowed to fall on the children in hopes that they might step up into their high callings. This is you, front runner. This is you. And when I was a child, I acted as a child, but now that I become a man or a woman, I put away all childlike ways. And God says, I'll gladly forgive every one of you, but I'm demanding that you choose love, that we begin to follow after him and his ways again. And all it takes is one compliant person in a bloodline to help set many free. But God gets no pleasure out of seeing us suffer, but he'll do the extreme in order to accomplish purpose, which is what we've seen these past 30 years. The extreme pain, extreme hurt, trauma, disappointment, loss, because the cursings of our bloodlines had gotten so layered, so they'd caught up with us, basically, and our generation was charged with stopping them. So the supreme need in this hour, and the reasoning for our being chosen and being used by God to help stop this mess in our bloodlines, is because God wants to create a new heart and a new spirit. He's looking for a people group after his own heart, a new gate of freedom, which leads back to him, which can only come through faith in Christ. But it only comes by us choosing to turn and live for him again, which is God's loving call to his people today. He's looking for a people group that want to just serve him. And his grace is being extended in this hour from those who would listen to him. and not get caught up in sour grapes or in the lie that God the Father hates us, or he hates me, that's why I'm not blessed, or that's why this prayer hasn't been answered, or why that decree or that thing hasn't been answered. He's actually trying to instill fortitude in us to help us be ready for the times that we live in, because the darkness, I don't know if you've noticed it, the darkness is getting darker and the light's getting lighter. If you've chosen to mature, he's coming up on your vessel. But we're each charged to mature because he's also coming back for a warring bride. He's not coming back for some floozy who follows after every wind and doctrine and every idol, and she flips over here and flips over there. Like, who was it? I don't forget whose wife, the guy who, was it Gomer? I forget. But she was the prostitute. And God's like, I'm not coming back for someone like that. I'm coming back for a warm, loyal, loving bride, and a woman or bride after my own heart. Somebody who's going to be tried and true, because I'm an old school God. I'm not into this progressive thing. I'm not into just love the one you're with kind of a thing. Lord says, I'm going to leave with the one I brought. And if I saved you, that means I'm leaving this place with you. Hallelujah. But you can't get caught up in sour grapes or in the lie that God hates you, because he doesn't. He does hate the devil, because he's observed all the damage that had been layered against you through bloodline cursings in the past, where it fell onto our generation to do something about. And this is why the fire has been so intense. If you don't know anything about God, if you haven't learned anything about him up until now, he is a wonderful dad. He's a wonderful dad. And I don't know about your earthly dad, and I'm not trying to be biased because of mine. Mine was not perfect, but he did know God. And he always tried to live up to God's standard, but he didn't always hit the mark. However, he did teach us his ways, so that when God had my dad depart, my brother and I were both faced with the choice of choosing our own ways or turning back to the ways of God, which we had been taught as children. But the interesting thing about that was, this time when we had that choice to make, God had us do things differently than our earthly dads had sought in times past. This time, we were charged to learn about our gifts and callings. We were charged to learn about the fivefold ministry, about the difference between the warm love of Jesus versus the cold love of Jezebel and religion. We were charged to learn about our gifts and our talents, and our gifts being the prophetic, the apostolic, evangelistic, preacher, teacher. We were charged to learn about all these things that God had told us about. And it was because God was preparing us for the times that we live in right now. We were charged to learn between good and evil, or between a truth and a lie, between religion and relationship. We were charged about these things. I plead the blood over. Basically, the Father's making it plain for us in this hour. He's demanding that we choose this day. We're being charged to choose. That lie before us. We have many choices in everything we choose to do, but we're being charged to choose whom we're going to serve. Ourselves. Or will we choose life? Hey, guys. I'm hoping it'll stop. We're hoping that it will stop. I apologize for that. So we're all charged with learning the ways of the Father's heart once again, because we do have a choice while we're still in this transitional place. Did y'all know this? While the grace is still on us, we have a choice, because judgment's here now. And grace is almost up, because judgment's at the door. But that's where God must judge all things that don't align. And the Lord's saying, will you align? Will you align by choosing to get free so that many can get free in your bloodline through your obedience? Will you align? Because the times of being cruel and robbing people of justice and freedom is almost up, says the Lord. As we quickly approach the finish line of grace. You know, have you ever heard of that thing too, where God says, you never want to You never want to stay in sin too long because the grace clock starts ticking. The minute we choose darkness, the minute we choose death, the minute we choose the curse, the grace clock starts ticking. And you can exhaust God's grace. And that's where America's at right now, where he's separating out the sheep from the goats. And I know the messages of late have seemed like they've just been like doomsday messages, I feel like. But God's saying, choose this day. Choose this day. Choose life. Do what is just and right. Choose the Father. Choose love. That's what he's saying. Because although love is full of grace, that same warm love will get tough on us when we refuse to comply and do what the word says. Because this is part of God's justice. He's a just God. Which brings us to Hebrews 9, 1 through 10, which is calling for a better sanctuary. And there's a price that Jesus paid to make his own heavenly ministry possible. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. And he said that many have gone through the fire of past seasons, and they're now coming to see that all the testings, all the fire of the past was used to bring them to this point into a new beginning. I don't know about you, but for me, honestly, I'm coming into this place spiritually now where I'm seeing the whys. I'm learning the whys of everything I've had to walk through. It's happened like in about the past year and a half, I guess, where I've started coming into an understanding to where I'm not always so like waiting for the other shoe to drop, or I'm not waiting for the next war to happen or the next battle with the devil. I'm starting to understand the places in God's heart. C1, C2, C3, C4. I'm understanding the patterns of God. Therefore, I'm learning what to expect as we move every year through his heart into levels, more higher levels of maturity. But I've stopped blaming God. And I'm understanding his long-term purpose now. He's after an entire people group. So I've got my eyes off me finally, thank God, to understand how God does things. That he doesn't just focus on the I, me, my, mine. He's not just focused on you, 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 you. He's focused on his whole family trying to get multitudes to choose life. And he's going to make a way where there is no way to capture the most souls that he can, because he wants his family back. Will you be... See, I don't think a lot of people realize that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't think a lot of you guys realize how important your callings are. That God lifted you up for such a time as this. A front runner, a gatekeeper that was used by God or being used by God to... Do you understand what a gatekeeper does, by the way? Have you ever tried to herd cattle? I'm going to talk to you from a rancher's daughter standpoint too. My grandfather was a rancher and a farmer. When you stand at the gate, my grandfather used to tell me, "Sissy, watch the gate. And when I tell you, when I honk the horn on the truck, I want you to open the gate and push it out so all the cattle can run through. And then get out of the way. Get on the other side of the gate so that they can't trample you." That's what God's trying to do right now. He's using you, gatekeeper, because you have keys that open up many doors through Christ in your life that'll set and open the gate so that many can flow through. Many can walk through back into life, back into love, all because of your obedience. And believe it or not, you don't think anybody's watching you or that anybody cares what you have to say or that anybody really pays attention to you, because before this point, nobody's ever given you the time of day. And the Lord says, "Oh, let me just tell you, you can say a whole lot without ever saying anything at all just by the way you live. By the way you live." And that doesn't mean you have to be a perfect person. Forget the religious people. Forget them. If they don't get it together, they're going to be stuck in the past of C2 forever. But for those who will listen, when they know, like, have you ever known this too about cattle? Cattle understand when a tornado is coming. Do you understand they gather in the east part of the pasture usually? It's always in a certain part of the pasture for safety. They gather together in unity. Animals are smart like that. They sense when inclement weather is coming and when something is wrong in the atmosphere, they gather together. So God says it does matter. It does matter who you're connected to, their roots and their fruits. It does matter. It's all about who you're connected to in this hour. Do the people that you know serving Christ, do they know the warm, unconditional love of Jesus? And do they love you despite yourself, flaws and all? Or are they still trying to get you to keep the rules and to be a Pharisee or to be having that critical eye to where you can't ever seem to measure up to a standard that even that where the bar keeps being lifted every time you feel like you've hit that standard. So it's really a measuring stick that they put in place that even they can't attain. It's ridiculous. And it's a pharisaical mindset. This is what God's trying to deliver us of. He's creating a better sanctuary. A better sanctuary. And it's a price that Jesus had to pay to make his own heavenly ministry possible. There's a price to be paid to stand where you're standing if you've been obedient up until this point. And many who have gone through the fires of past seasons are coming to see that all the testings, all the fire, all the past was being used to bring them to this point and into a new beginning. Do you not sense by the Spirit that you're at this new finishing line that's fixing to propel you into the new? Nothing is in vain. Nothing is in vain. It's a new place readying many for revival to help those who are coming up after them. But God was trying to create a better sanctuary or a new sanctuary through us as men and women after God's own heart who were going to flow with rivers of living water to where many could come and be refreshed to come to know him. But our waters had to be purified first so that the fires of adversity could put us and propel us into such a place to make the river wide and make it go deep to where many could drink at your riverbanks. He had to teach us how to forge our way through the old, through the cursings, and into new freedom, which comes through testings. Jesus had to go through them. We're only walking the Via Della Rosa out in our journey. And for those who've passed the test, we're reading about a better level of service. A people group who have walked through much darkness and pain in order that others might come back to the King. Back to his heart so that his lineage might continue. Do you not think God's trying to make a way through where there is no way so that the message of the gospel continues on? Somebody has to keep his ways. And when the cattle start roaming and they just start going every which way, because cattle can be dumb like that. Sheep can be dumb like that. We just start wandering off and wandering off over there, and then God will go after the one because he loves you. He loves you. He'll leave the 99 and go after us. Thank God. In the past, this is the key to right now. In the past, the Jewish priests that went into the temple and tabernacle of God only dealt with the externals. Did you know that? But when Jesus came, Jesus deals with the heart to force a cleaning up from the inside out, to where we stop living on the surface and we stop giving false appearances when all is not well with our soul. You ever heard that statement in the Bible? All is well with my soul. Well, if you're living like hell in private, and your outside doesn't match your inside or vice versa, because change starts from the inside out. I don't know about you. But if you're not living consistently, being who you say you are, if you're a chameleon, are you a superficial type of person who lives on the surface? And I'll get into that. But it's when your inside doesn't match your outside. And God's grown very, very weary of this. He's grown weary of the false pretenses because of what the apparatus of religion kind of pushes people into. It pushes them into these false pretenses, this chameleon style of living, I'm going to be everything I think you want me to be so I can be accepted by you. But are you accepted by God? That's the problem. If you're not accepted by God, then you're in a real pickle, because you're going to be one of these people at the end of your lives that's going to hear, "Depart from me. I don't know you. You didn't know me. You didn't know my ways. You didn't keep my ways." God didn't expect us to be perfect. He knows we're going to be flawed creatures, but are we keeping his ways? Are we trying to grow up in his ways? The apparatus of religion doesn't allow you to do that. Did you know that? It tries to keep you stuck in the law, trying to keep every rule that you're going to break every second of every day. So you're constantly in a state of, oh my gosh, I can't do anything right. So you're always walking in shame and all this condemnation, trying to give this illusion of who you think Jesus is. Only Jesus can reveal his heart to us. I can't show you. I can try to live my life as best I can to show you the love of Christ, you'll feel his love through me, hopefully. But when he wants a heart to change, he gives you a supernatural revelation of who love is in a test. Who love is. And then you find out for yourself, and nobody else has to tell you anything else about it because you're sold out at that point. You're like, oh my God, this was Jesus. This was Jesus. But he wants our insides to match our outside because he's grown weary of the false pretenses that the church has operated in. And he now wants to teach us what true living is all about. True love lives life every day to the fullest until it overflows. And it flows out into other people's lives. And it shares. It's like pouring a big cup of wine into someone else's cup saying, here, I want to share the joy of the Lord with you. I just can't contain it by myself because it would be boring to be the only one blessed in the room. I want to share the blessings. That's how true love operates. It's not selfish. It's not the I, mine, me, mine attitude. Love is others oriented. It's also what true courage is about. Or being a fiercely loving people who run only after one heart. Being loyal like the king. And our bridegroom has been to us. I'll say it again. God's old school. He's old school like that and that he's not changing for anybody. He's not. But in order to dwell near him, we have to be willing to make some adjustments if we want a good life. Which begins from the inside out. So we're having to learn how to serve God in an acceptable way. And a lot of us are finding as we've come up in this maturity now, because if you've noticed, I don't know about you guys, but for the front runners especially, because we're always charged to run ahead of the pack, and we're getting free at breakneck speeds now, and I'm getting filled with the love of God, and I'm getting filled with the freedom of God. I don't know about you. I'm seeing a lot of people around me who are front runners operating this too, where we're getting so free, and we're feeling so free to be me. That's the point of this whole test, by the way, being free to be, flaws and all, knowing that it's okay. And you're okay with yourself if you've got flaws. You're just learning to love other people despite themselves while you're learning to love yourself despite yourself. And you know that you're loved by a holy God. And you're not fearing breaking the rules. And I'm not saying you're compromising them, but your life is, it's like second nature to you, by the way. God's ways are becoming second nature to you, to where you don't have to worry about everything, breaking everything or doing something wrong. You're just loving. You're too busy loving because you're encapsulated by His Spirit, which gives you that ability. You're learning to love like He loves. Isn't that freeing, man? That feels so good to me. It feels good to be okay being me, whether I'm perfect or not, which I won't ever be. I'm not. You're not. Just live it. Live with it. It's going to be that way. But we're having to learn to serve God in an acceptable way. And he's only using selfless, loving people in this hour because he himself was selfless in the sacrifice that he made for us. And now it's our turn. It's our turn to display that to the world around us. That's why you've been lifted up for such a time as this, David, being men and women after his own heart, to help set them free from the rituals and the traditions that we've all learned up until this point. And that's not what saved us, by the way. I don't know about you, but when I'd sit in church and churches that were operating in the doctrines of demons and traditions of man, I didn't get a thing out of it. I didn't even care to be there. Matter of fact, I skipped church. I wasn't on fire for God. I was thinking, I don't know why I'm here. I'm wasting my time. These people don't act like God. They act like hell half the time. Why am I bothering? I don't want to formulate relationships with them. I want to be with people who I can do life with, who are real, who will take time to explain to me this concept of who God says he is and then display it for me and walk it out with me, for me, to give me an example to follow. They're not hypocrites in the process. They're just like, I'm going to love you despite yourself, Missy. We're going to do this together, and I'm going to love you through it. I'm going to hold you accountable, and you're going to go forward, and you're going to start flourishing. And that's exactly what happened. But it was in our learning what true love was, which is what saved us. from all the harm that our flesh caused us through generational cursings. Because the apparatus of religion never saved anybody. But true love has saved many a soul from hell. Saved them from themselves and from the harm the flesh can so easily inflict. And God's trying to save not only this country, but the preciousness of this people group. He's trying to teach us about himself. If we'll only comply and listen. Which brings us to Psalms 106:32-48. And you know, it's interesting in this passage, you'd have thought that people of Israel would finally see and listen to God. You'd have thought that they would have gotten the message by now. But in light of Israel seeing God's current grace and his goodness after everything he'd brought them through up until this point, a lot of people, because they hadn't seen what they thought that they would see by now. They hadn't seen answers to prayers yet. They hadn't seen the things that they thought would happen with deliverance and things that they thought should have happened by now. It should happen right now, God. I go through McDonald's and they move faster than you. How many people have you seen operate like that? I've gone through Burger King and they move faster than you, God. You're slow as Christmas. But they had started turning back and digressing and getting back into sin. And they had to be disciplined many, many times. But the Lord says, before we judge them, thank you, Holy Spirit, we need to see if we're guilty of committing the same sins. Do we do those things? Do you do those things? I don't know why my thing is doing that. That is so weird. It's the background. Oh, man, I just realized I had the background on there. Oh, well, you know, I've got two backgrounds. Let me do that right there. Okay, so we'll keep going. You see a purple background and my rivers of living water behind me, so it goes, right? But this is where the body's at right now. This is where the body's at. He's teaching us to look at our own self, to pull the logs out of our own eyes before we judge other people. He's teaching us to realize the truth about ourselves. We're flawed people. We're flawed people. We live in a group of flawed people. Everybody's got something. And if we're spending our time looking for perfect people, and don't get me wrong, thank you, Holy Spirit, because there is a difference in this hour. There are two streams flowing in this nation in this hour where there's a group of people operating in the warm, unconditional love of Jesus, and then there's a group stuck in Jezebel underneath the apparatus of religion. They think that they're okay, but they're stuck. They're stuck, and things aren't going well for them. They try to pretend like, oh, yes, it is. Things are going well. He's going to show up any day now. God cannot dwell there. He cannot dwell where sin is. He cannot dwell, nor will he tolerate the spirit of Jezebel. He says it in his word, not to tolerate that spirit. Yet you're tolerating it. You're living in it. You're performing its ways instead of love's ways. Because most people, I'm not going to say most, some people in the church have been raised underneath these strict doctrines of demons and traditions of man to where they think that's the normal. They're used to that. They got used to the dysfunction. And God's like, your ways aren't my ways. And that demon, I already told you about that demon. I told you to kick it out of your churches because of the ways that it creates chaos in your life and chaos in your churches. It creates disorder. It comes after the true order of Christ. And it never lets my people be themselves. So the Lord's saying, before we judge these people, though, we need to look at ourselves. If we're guilty of committing the same sins. And while we're at it, the Lord says, we need to look at our own hearts before judging those around us in our current circumstances. To see if we, too, are guilty of those same sins that we are so quick to judge everybody else for. This is what the church always does. That's why everybody hates the church. Because they won't pull the log out of their own eye before they judge the sin of somebody else's. They always have this superiority complex, especially those stuck in religion. And they always think, well, at least that's not me. At least that's not me. Which I'd love to challenge you and ask you, what makes your sin so different from mine? What makes your sin so different from mine? Sin is sin. And just because you've been raised in church or had your butt sitting in a pew all your life doesn't make you so godly. A lot of you act worse than the devil's children at the time. And you don't know how to love. You don't know how to just embrace people when they're going through difficulties. You always want to give them some superficial answer of what you think God would say to them. You quote the scripture, but without love behind it. Oh, okay, here's a word for you. Go let that fix your situation. That does not help me in my situation unless someone can sit there and sit down with me and give me honest directives and honest conversation to find out about the facts behind my situation so that we can seek the Lord together, hopefully, and pray something through. That helps me. That helps people. When you spend time with them, you pour your life into them, you pour love into them, that helps people. Not just giving them a pat flat answer. Here, just get out of my hair kind of a thing. Here's your scripture. Go do it. That's superficial. So at this point in the journey, God would deliver Israel from Egypt, but they soon forgot God's wisdom and his counsel. They forgot his ways. So when we begin to get lazy and lax, thinking our flesh isn't affecting our walks or our closeness with God's heart, we fool ourselves. We fool ourselves because God can't dwell where sin is. He then has to pull his spirit back, which is an automatic, and it automatically places us into the grace mode that I was talking to you about, meaning the clock begins to tick until or unless we repent. And if you don't want to stay, you don't want to stay too long in grace mode. I'm just telling you that. Grace is great, but if the clock runs out into judgment, then we have no one to blame but ourselves because we chose to stay there. Because we chose not to step back into God's ways and do what he said we should do. We have to do this because God is the Word, okay? And God can't deny himself or his ways. And this is why you and I can't deny his ways too long, because compromise always brings the curse, which is what he's having us have this conversation about. He's trying to use our vessels to deliver many people out of the cursings through him on our lives by raising up a new standard of love, the love, the warm, unconditional love of Jesus. And this is why God spent so much time to pour into you, to teach you endurance, to teach you perseverance so that you could step out of it. Why would you want to digress? Why would you want to digress? So we're moving into Proverbs 27:10 as we wrap up our conversation today. And you know, I entered into this conversation this morning when I started writing out this 15-minute read today. I thought, God, where is this going? And then I got into the first part about the bloodline cursings and stuff. And I thought, oh my gosh, you really are doing that. You really are doing this. Remember I told you how God is explaining to us now why we've gone through what we've gone through, to where we don't feel like it's all been so in vain. A lot of people have gone through hellacious things to go and stand where they're standing right now, but they've met the test of time. They've walked through the test of time in order to come into a higher dimension of God's spirit so he could use them in this level of love. And he's actually, I believe, in this place, he's teaching us what being a true friend is all about, a true friend of Christ. I really believe that. We're coming to know his heart in such ways, hopefully, to where we understand, you know, what he expects. We understand what's going to happen when, as far as moving through the seasons, our times, dimension, realms, frequency, seasons, and cycles of the Spirit. We're starting to understand these things now, to where we're starting to have a deeper understanding of love. And it's forging Holy Ghost fire in a lot of us. And I love it. I love this place where we're standing now. And I can't wait to go higher. Which brings me to Proverbs. Again, I'm going to read it. 27:10. And it says, do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family. I mean, be a true friend. If you say you're a friend of somebody, if you say you're a friend of Christ, be a true friend. And do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. To me, that means, this is interesting, this scripture comes up. Because today the Lord was talking to me about, you know, how sometimes we always think that life's going to come out a certain way. And that our families are always going to stand right there with us. Or our bloodline families are always going to stand right there with us. or that people that have been in our lives for so long are always going to stand right there with us, and that they're going to be who they say that they are. But the problem in this hour, the test of this hour, is that not everybody is who they say they are. Not everybody is choosing to get free from Jezebel or Ahab or from the bloodline cursings. So they can't help but stay stuck at the lower levels because they can't come higher into love. And so as we have chosen frontrunner and gatekeeper to come higher into God's love, we're finding that sometimes, even though we don't have the family we thought we'd have, we don't have the same relationships we thought we would have. But God's making up for it by placing people who have come up around us in the true, warm, unconditional love of Jesus and allowing us to see family in them. And we're seeing the family of God rise up in the most peculiar places. I don't know about you, but I am learning to love the family God's establishing around me right now, to where I don't feel as alone anymore. I don't feel by myself anymore. I'm starting to feel, as long as I feel God's love through you, I'm at home. And it brings me a great sense of peace and contentment to know that I'm at home in Him. As long as I have Him and Jesus in skin around me, to the family of God and those that have chosen to climb with me, I'm at home. And I hope you are too. Are you encouraged today? I hope you are. I know that we've kind of gone off of YouTube and everything. I'll be posting the notification up on YouTube to let you guys know. Obviously, you won't see it till the end of the video, but, you know, you'll see the video, hopefully. But we're on Rumble right now. If you want to join us, please do join me at MissyH123 on Rumble. And we are just hopping and popping there, actually. But God's pulled us off of YouTube for a time to try to shake some dead fruit off and to give us an opportunity to move into this new place. And so that's what we're choosing to do. We're obeying Him. But I hope you will too. Hope you're choosing to climb higher. I hope you are. But until I see you, I guess on Friday, I hope you have a blessed rest of your week. And then I will look forward to maybe talking with you then. But until then, I hope you're blessed. And I hope God blesses your socks off. So I'll see you on Friday on the 15-Minute Breath. Bye-bye.